Hello, everyone. We're going to continue in our Bible study series about the life of Jesus Christ. We have been covering this series, going into some specific details regarding Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, or put another way, Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. In other words, what did Jesus Christ do in the past? What were his duties? Where was he? What is he doing in the present? What are his duties? Where is he? And what will he do in the future? What will be his duties? Where will he be? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. This is a very famous verse, but one that is not really understood by that many people. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Well, what was he like yesterday? What is he like today? What will he be like forever? He's the same. He's perfect. And yet, there are specific details regarding Jesus Christ and what he's like, what he's doing, what he will be like, what he will be doing, in all three of these categories mentioned here, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have been trying to go into those things in detail and trying to understand them and learn from them and benefit from the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, what is ahead for him in the future? What will it be like regarding Jesus Christ and the world and the universe in the future? Let's turn first to Zechariah chapter 14. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. What about forever? Past, present, and future. What about future? Let's notice here in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, there are some pretty detailed scriptures and some very specific information regarding Jesus Christ and the future. It says here in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1, Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. The houses rifled, plundered, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, verse 3, shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. A lot of people do not understand that Jesus Christ is coming back as a warrior in the future. When he comes again, it's not just going to be a very mild, meek, simple occurrence by a very mild, meek being called Jesus Christ. He's coming back in power and glory. He's coming back with tremendous earth-shaking signs and wonders. He's coming back as a warrior to put down rebellious mankind and satanic government and kingdoms that's been set up by Satan the devil, the god of this world and the king of this earth right now. He's going to come back and dethrone him. And he's coming back to do battle, and he's going to win that battle. And that's what it's telling us here. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. That's in the future for Jesus Christ. That's part of the forever that we will get into a little bit later regarding Jesus Christ. He's coming back to take charge. Let's turn over here to Revelation chapter 19 now and verse 11. Once again, a misunderstood verse. We read it in Revelation chapter 6 that the first seal is about a great white horse. And people look at that and they think it's talking about Jesus Christ when it really is not. You read it in context, it's talking about false prophets. But when you read about the great white horse over here in context, it's obviously talking about Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19 I'm speaking of. Let's turn there. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. It says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is a different white horse than the one that we just referred to in Revelation 6. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, obviously referring to Jesus Christ. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's coming as a warrior. When he comes again, he's coming back to this earth as a warrior. It's going to take that in order to take over rebellious mankind and dethrone super rebellious Satan the devil. And he'll do it. Jesus Christ will. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who else could that be but Jesus Christ? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, the rebellious nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's going to get as tough as mankind makes him get in order to bring them to their knees, and they're going to make him get mighty tough. And it's going to take that before man will completely repent and give him their full attention, and before Satan will be dethroned and bound for 1,000 years. He's got to come in power and might, and he will. Notice verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies, Revelation 19:19, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The famous battle of Armageddon will take place, and then they'll turn and fight him. They will unite and fight him. Those armies that were involved in the valley of Armageddon will then turn and fight him, and he will crush them because he will be coming back to this earth to take over. That's yet in the future. And he'll be coming as a warrior, as the warrior that wins all battles and never loses, and executes judgment in love and mercy and power. It must be done in order to bring mankind to their knees and to dethrone Satan, so that then wonderful things will begin to happen, because now rebellious mankind will yield and submit and listen. But under no circumstance would they do it otherwise, except Jesus Christ come back in power and glory and honor as a warrior to put down the rebellion and to dethrone Satan the devil and bind him for 1,000 years. Now, let's notice something else that's in the future for Jesus Christ and forever, and that is he's going to be the king of this earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Let's notice Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ yet in the future. It says here, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Did you notice what it said there in verse 15? This world has kingdoms. That means this world has kings. And when you put other scriptures together with this, you can see that Jesus Christ is the God of this world, and that these kingdoms are his kingdoms, and that he's the king over this earth, sitting on the throne of power and of authority. Perverted, twisted, mean, hateful, destructive in every way, but there he is on that throne. And when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords, he's going to take over this earth, take over all of the kingdoms of this world, and crush them and replace them with the glorious, wonderful kingdom of God, and he shall reign forever and ever as king over the whole earth. Let's notice what it says over here in Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9, it makes that very, very plain. It says in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9 regarding Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. And we already read that in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. But you know, you keep reading in that chapter and it gets in even more specific detail regarding Christ and regarding his duties. It says here in Zechariah 14 and verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." And that's what it means. He shall be king and the only king. The ultimate king. He'll be king of kings, but he'll be the ultimate king over all the earth. He now will be in total charge. "In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And he will be king of kings and Lord of lords. And there will only be one king and only one Lord in charge, and that will be Jesus Christ over the whole earth." That's coming in the future. That's the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. He will be king over the whole earth. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Yet in the future, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, it talks about Jesus Christ here, and you can read about it. But let's notice here in verse 6. It says, Revelation 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power." Why? Because they'll be resurrected. These human beings who obeyed God and endured to the end will be resurrected and be given eternal life in the family of God under Jesus Christ, reigning with him on the earth. "On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Imagine what the earth is going to be like when Jesus Christ is in charge as the king and as the Lord. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years in power and glory and honor and might and love and mercy. And he's going to take this unlimited capacity he has as second in charge of the God family, right under the Father, this perfect, glorious power and love that he has, and he's going to implement his way, God's law, his love throughout the entire earth for 1,000 years and be in charge with power and glory and honor. And whatever he says is going to be done will be done. And there's going to be a renewal of the face of the earth begin to take place, and over a number of years it will envelop the entire earth, so that what is now an earth laden with pollution and crime and ugliness and horrendous poverty and war and hate will be completely changed to a world filled with prosperity and pure water and pure air and pure food and people getting along and caring for one another and war replaced with peace and rain in due season. Natural catastrophes will be a thing of the past. And the truth will be taught to everyone. The truth about God and about his plan and about his way of life, about family and marriage and how to get along with neighbor, the work ethic. And it'll all be taught God's way, and Jesus Christ will be the one overseeing that and implementing it and bringing it about. So therefore it will absolutely succeed, because he never fails at anything. And we'll be in good hands. The whole earth will be, and the whole population of mankind will be. What a glorious time that's going to be. And that's coming in the future. And the reason it's going to be such a glorious time, it'll be because Jesus Christ will be right here on this earth, implementing the government of God and being the king to carry it all the way through exactly the way the Father wants him to. You know, Mr. Armstrong talks about this in his wonderful book, The Mystery of the Ages. I want to turn there to page 209 regarding Jesus Christ, the King. He says here, "Jesus, the earth ruler and king," that's the heading on page 209. Next, Mr. Armstrong says, "What nearly all Christians, including theologians, do not realize, Jesus was born to become a king. On trial for his life before Pilate, Jesus was asked, 'Are you a king then?' And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." That's found in John 18:37. Jesus also said, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world, else would my servants fight," showing this is Satan's world. Jesus came to call people out of this world to be prepared to teach and rule under him when he becomes king and takes over the throne of the earth. Mr. Armstrong went on to say, "Prior to the begettal and birth of Jesus, God had said to his mother-to-be, Mary, by his angels, quote, 'And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.'" Luke 1:31-33. His gospel was the good news of that kingdom, the kingdom of God. What a wonderful time that's coming. And right at the center of the whole thing is Jesus Christ himself. Now, another thing that's in the future for Jesus Christ, and everyone will benefit from it, is that he will be a judge. He will be the judge. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. He will be the judge. One of the biggest problems we have in man's government today, no matter where you go, anywhere on the earth, is unrighteous judges. Where are you going to go and find judges that judge righteously? Judges that are in charge of court proceedings that put God in the picture and base their sentencings and judgments on God's word. No, they use human reasoning. They use philosophy. They use contradictory principles, and therefore, very, very seldom is justice truly served up in the courts of this world and in the annals of the history of justice departments. You'll see that that's true. Very, very seldom. It's partial. Sometimes it's pretty good. Most of the time it's unsatisfactory, and usually it ends up being unjust to one degree or the other, and sometimes completely unjust. Well, the time is coming when justice will be served. It will be perfect. It will be righteous. It will be correct. It will be appropriate. It will be done in love. And the one overseeing it all will be the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, King of this earth. Let's read about it over here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. Isaiah 11 and verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the eternal," that approach, that attitude, "and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the eternal. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor." See that? Righteousness. Based on God's law, all your commandments are righteousness. We read in Psalms 119, verse 172. That should be the basis of every court proceeding and of every justice department. It's not now, but it will be in the kingdom of God under Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. "With righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. But he'll bless those who obey him and obey Almighty God and his law. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." And look at what this produces. Now we see a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is going to be like, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ in the millennium. Now we see a glimpse of what the future holds once we get past all the evil and all the turmoil and chaos that Satan the devil continually generates. Once we get to the point to where Jesus Christ is in charge of this earth and is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the righteous judge, look at what begins to blossom and burgeon and develop and thrive and take place as a society and as the world yields to him and submits to him and does what he says. Look what starts to just take off in terms of the quality of life and in terms of the human family living on this earth. Notice this. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Tremendous peace, tremendous harmony, tremendous joy and happiness, tremendous prosperity. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Notice this, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. So the ugliness that we hear about every day now, the crime, the murders, the drugs, the diseases, the filth, the squalor, the poverty, the war, the brutality, the cruelty, it's all going to be gone. The nature of the animals will even be changed. And so will the nature of human beings in terms of being ruled by their carnal nature. Now they'll be led by God's Spirit, and God's divine nature will begin to guide and direct them and influence them and mold them and shape them. And there will be peace and harmony and joy and happiness, and people will get along and love one another. Neighbors will love neighbors the way God says, and they'll also love God, and they'll worship God, and they'll obey God, and they'll follow Jesus Christ as the way of life. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And why will that happen? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Full of the knowledge of the Lord. Everybody will know about God and Jesus Christ. Everybody will understand the Bible. Everybody will live according to God's word, which is the way of joy and happiness and productivity and development and learning and challenge and interesting things. It's all found right here in the Bible. And when everybody lives that way, gradually over a period of years, during the 1,000-year period, it will sweep the earth, that way of life, and it will become the way of life, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth, and people will obey Him no matter where they are, no matter what race they come from, no matter who they are, no matter what circumstance they're in. Life will be lived according to God's law, and life will be overseen by the King, and life will be wonderful. And it will be abundant, and it will be interesting, and productive, and peaceful. It will be the way life was intended to be lived from the beginning until Adam and Eve rebelled against God and did what Satan told them to do. And now for 6,000 years after that, we see what man does to this earth and to life under the sway of Satan the devil. All of that's going to be replaced, and we'll see what man can do to this earth under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the righteous judge and the King. You see a glimpse of it right here in this passage in Isaiah we just read. Well, let's turn to one more scripture in this particular part of the Bible study of Jesus Christ, yet to come, the future, forever. His coming is going to be glorious. It's going to be the event in history that will turn everything around and take it in the right direction. It will be pivotal. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 24. He's not going to come in a secret rapture. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where the rapture is referred to. There is no such thing as a secret rapture. Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth in a very, very well observed way. It's not going to be secret. It's going to be well known. It's going to be powerful. It's going to shake the earth. It's going to be the pivotal event that's happened so far in history. His coming will be known around the world. You talk about shaking things up, He's going to. Notice here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You've seen thunderstorms. You've seen lightning. Is it like a secret rapture? There's thunder and power and noise. There's brilliance. There's light. Oh, it's a fantastic show when you see a thunderstorm that really takes over the sky. But it's minor compared to when Jesus Christ returns back to this earth in power and glory, and He's going to come, And it's going to be something that is going to be very powerful and very, very obvious. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28, Matthew 24. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately, verse 29, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Doesn't seem like it's mild, doesn't seem like it's secret, doesn't seem like it's minor, doesn't seem like it's something that people just kind of ignore and not even notice. This is going to be cataclysmic. Everybody is going to be noticing. Christ is going to have everybody's absolute, rapt, undivided attention when he comes back to this earth. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Oh boy, what a tremendous time that's going to be. You can just imagine everything just going completely hush. Something's going on here. Something's happening. This has never occurred before. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They'll wonder what's happening now. They will have been through so much. And they shall see. Does that mean what it says? That's not a secret rapture. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. How will he come back? With power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, from the horizon, and he will gather them together. And there will be a tremendous blast on the trumpet, and everyone will see him, and he's coming in the clouds in great power and great honor and great glory. His second coming will be glorious. And that's all out there in the future. And that's all a part of forever concerning Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Master, and our soon coming King. Well, we'll stop there and pick it up next time with the final installment of these Bible studies, this series of Bible studies that we've been going through regarding Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. So we'll pick it up next time. And until then, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.